Is the indictment of a past president a genuine call for justice or politically motivated plot by Trump's adversaries, all to get the former president in handcuffs and off the campaign trail? I'm Sky Nell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we're going to give you a special inclination into the indictment of the 45th president of the United States. Let's get started. Prosecutors at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office are prepping an indictment against former United States President Donald Trump. Now, fences could be seen going up around the courthouse in New York City as Trump was actually calling for protest in his honor from his supporters. We are joined now by international correspondent Roxana Solano. Roxana, who are the key players in Trump's indictment?
Scotty, this is all surrounding the alleged hush money payment made 6 years ago. First is Stormy Daniels. Back in 2006, adult film star Stormy Daniels claimed she met with Trump at his hotel, where they had an affair. Trump has repeatedly denied having an affair with Daniels. Years later, Daniels was poised to give an interview detailing the affair with InTouch for $15,000. The interview never happened. Daniels claimed she was never paid. Next is Michael Cohen, who is Trump's former lawyer. With the threat of Daniels going public, Cohen had Daniels sign a non-disclosure agreement. Several months later, Cohen pursued reimbursement from the Trump's organization for hundreds of thousands of dollars. In January 2018, Daniels then tapped lawyer Michael Avenatti in a quest to nullify the non-disclosure agreement. Trump quickly denied knowledge of the exchange between Cohen and Daniels. The FBI raided Cohen's home and office in April 2018. By August, Cohen pleaded guilty to multiple charges, including a campaign finance violation. In August 2018, then Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance commenced an investigation into the Trump Organization. His office subpoenaed the Trump Organization and waged a court battle for Trump's tax returns to investigate the alleged hush money payment. Eventually, his office secured a grand jury indictment against the Trump Organization. Alvin Bragg succeeded Vance as the Manhattan District Attorney. Given the targeting of Trump's business empire, there was a widespread belief that inquiry had strayed from the payment to Daniels to Trump's business dealings. Bragg has received criticism for his soft on crime policies in New York City and is looking for a win. Prior to Michael Cohen's guilty plea, he consulted a lawyer named Robert Costello. Costello publicly claimed Cohen told him the payment to Daniel was intended to protect Trump's wife, Melania Trump, who gave birth to their son, Barron Trump, at the time of the alleged affair. The main actor is, of course, former United States President Donald Trump, who has long decried the Manhattan investigation against him. Trump has long denied any wrongdoing and blasting it as a witch hunt. Trump posted on his social media platform, Truth Social, he expected to be arrested and called for his supporters to protest. Trump declared his 2024 campaign last November and is the front runner in the Republican primary, even though he lost his run for a second term back in 2020. The Manhattan District Attorney's probe is one of several investigations revolving around Trump. For 360 View, I'm Roxana Solano.
I could not think of a better guest at this moment in history to discuss than my good friend, media and legal analyst Lionel. Lionel, thank you so much for joining me. I can't believe we're at this point in history. I just have to start off by saying that it's truly unprecedented, something that Donald Trump loves to be so often. So let's start off with someone right down the street from you right now in New York City, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Tell me about him, as well as the Southern District of New York, where this has all been filed in. How does Bragg actually think he has jurisdiction in this case?
Okay, get ready. Okay, get ready.
I don't think you can get ready for this. I'm sorry, Lionel. I don't think you can actually get ready for this moment, but we'll try our best.
As we speak, we don't know anything. Here's what I think happened. And I put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump said, Well, they're going to arrest me Tuesday. That's right. They're going to arrest me Tuesday, and I'm ready. He wants to be handcuffed, take me in, protest. We'll get to that later. Not the wisest thing to say, but I digress. So anyway, he says, they're going to do it. It's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, said, we're going to what? Wait a minute. Who said that? I never said that. We're not even done yet. I'm still interrogating witnesses. Well, you've got till Tuesday. I never said Tuesday. Who said Tuesday? He said. Who's he? Trump. Now, do you know what they're thinking about charging him with? This is the best. Now, this is weird because it's like standing outside a stadium, listening to the roar and trying to guess the score. We don't know anything. Grand juries are secret. Grand juries are citizens from New York County. By the way, in New York, in Manhattan, Trump lost by 80% of all registered voters who decided to show up, and everybody came out to vote. So this isn't Trump country or MAGA country, as they say. But what they're saying is that they believe the following happened. That Stormy Daniels, that Shantus and artiste, was alleged to have had a dalliance with the president, which he denies or what have you. Now, Michael Cohen is called his fixer, his lawyer. Trump would beg to differ, but the argument is that Mr. Cohen wrote a check out or gave $130,000 to this Stormy Daniels as hush money, as they call it, as an NDA, which is very common, to keep quiet, to go away. And that later, President Trump in his office or his team reimbursed Michael Cohen for this. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No. Is it against the law? No. So what's the big deal? The predecessor district attorney, Cyrus Vance, said, this case stinks. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Later, Mr. Bragg came along, and he initially said, this case smells even worse because over time, cases don't get better. I want nothing to do with this case. The federal government, who would be handling federal elections type of offenses, wanted nothing to do with it. Nobody did. And then all of a sudden, Scotty, all of a sudden, Alvin Bragg, who is a beneficiary of the Soros machine, says, I'm going to impanel a grand jury. And we're going to do the following. We're going to claim that under this rather obscure New York statute, that Trump falsified business records or documents. Problem, that's a misdemeanor. Problem, that statute of limitations is only 2 years and ran out during the Coolidge administration. It's dead. But if you take that lousy misdemeanor and add a few more facts to it, for example, if they can prove, or if a grand jury can agree, that he actually took this money or more fudged these records in order to conceal a crime. And what that crime is, I don't know. Maybe some in-kind campaign violation, which nobody can understand. But through this weird machination, then you'll be able to meet the time limit and charge Mr. Trump, President Trump, with the worst felony case in the history of mankind. Now, do you know what happened recently? First, you have one of Mr. Cohen's old lawyers who came out on Fox News and said, this guy's a liar. Now, I wouldn't do that as a point of order with any of my clients, even though they were liars or even though I wasn't crazy. Why are lawyers doing that? Because of a waiver. I don't know. But that being said, there's another case, another document from 2018 from another one of Mr. Cohen's prior lawyers who said President Trump never paid anything. This is all Mr. Cohen's doing. This is all his money. There was no compensation. There was no nothing. So wait a minute. Which Michael Cohen are we listening to? The liar? The person who gave different testimony in 2018? This case is falling apart. Scotty, this was supposed to be the easiest case ever. It's a documents case. Is this your check? Yes. Did you sign it? Yes. This is good. Yeah. That's it. It's over with. Now, as of when I'm speaking today with you, we just found out that Alvin Bragg, in the most important case of his life, just suspended, or rather told the grand jury, we'll get with you next week. Wait a minute. You've got barricades, police. You've got people wearing those horned, you know, shaman outfits. You've got people with signs, Trump won. They go, what? Next week? Wait a minute. There's no indictment? No indictment. But wait, as they say on QVC, there's more. They ask Alvin Bragg, Mr. Bragg, just so that we don't hurt anybody, just so that court personnel aren't harmed, why don't you just say that in the event there is an indictment, you are going to have an arraignment remotely? By the way, you can do this. We did it for school during COVID. Kids just never came back to school. But for an arraignment, no problem. In fact, they've arraigned people in hospital beds. I'm sure you've seen this on TV where they're handcuffed to the bed. Alvin Bragg says, no, I don't want to do that because this is the time for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. I'm going to do it. So now they're yelling at Bragg. His office is feeling embarrassed. The Secret Service, by the way, says, you're not going to have him do a perp walk, President Trump. And here's the best one, Scotty. Let's assume through this crazy parallel universe that we live in, some judge were to sentence him to jail. Huh? How could you throw a president in jail with Secret Service protection? Does the agent go with him? I mean, this is nuts. But there are five other cases ready to go right after this. This is just one. There's five others. So as some people say, he've crossed the Rubicon. This is it. And they are furious with Alvin Bragg because all of the other cases now are going to look horrible by comparison because Americans don't know the steal the vote, stop the steal versus Mar-a-Lago versus the January 6th versus Jack Smith versus Tisha Jane. There's so many different things. Americans just think it's one big case. So it's falling apart. Jim Jordan and the Republicans, thank God, are now raising all kinds of holy hell like the Democrats would do. And they even told Alvin Bragg, you got to come here and answer questions to us. And he says, what? Come there? Which I'm not crazy with this idea. As he prepares this mystical, magical phantom grand jury that has been basically continued until next week in the case of a lifetime. It is insanity.
But Lionel, and that's what I want to ask you about on this. Because first of all, do you know the last president that was actually arrested in office and the only other president to ever be arrested in office?
Ulysses S. Grant.
Ah, you knew it. Yes. And he rode his horse too fast through Washington, D.C. I'm very proud of you for knowing that. Because that actually...
I was there then.
You were there, I'm sure. You're probably his attorney. Okay, so this is the one thing. But isn't this kind of playing to Trump, don't you think? I mean, you're right. The case is very legally pathetic. Most lawyers with any sort of standing would admit that. So... Oh. When you're looking, isn't this kind of, nobody knew about a timeline. Trump was the one that put the timeline out in the first place. That I think that's a big mark right there. Do you wonder if maybe Trump did that knowing there were meetings going with the Secret Service, who are the only people that can put handcuffs on him? Well, do you think he did this on purpose to get this reaction, to get this spotlight on Bragg, so that Congress would get involved and this is all starting to come out, putting sunlight on an issue that would have just gone behind doors until he was arrested?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I don't know. It's almost like a limited hangout. He just accelerated what was going to happen. But let me just say something, Scotty. Mr. President Trump is doing some things which are really stupid. And we've got it, just so that people understand it. Number one, if I represented you in something, God forbid, you would ever be charged with something, I would say, you are going to shut up. And you're going to tell your family to shut up. And if you have a Scotty Jr., like he has a Don Jr., I would take all of his phones away. Why is the president referring to Stormy Daniels as horse face? Why are they, now they're making fun of what people look like. Don't do this, not with women. Why are you doing this? You're doing great. You're winning. Just sit back and talk about the Constitution. Hold it up. Do this and say, this is a great country, and this is my, act you know, upset about this. Speaking of women, I've got to tell you something. There are some other cases with this E. Jean Carroll case. This is not good. You're not going to like this one. This is a sexual, I don't want to say battery case.
Well, let me pause you on that one because we need to go to break. And we need to go to break because I do want to hear about this. But I want to say, I'll give you 1.5 million reasons why he's acting the way he is, why his junior's saying it, because that's the amount of money that they're saying he raised in the first 3 days after his tweet. And I guarantee as each day goes on, the fundraising off the idea of the president being targeted again is definitely working in their favor. Hold on, Lionel. We'll be right back, because when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation and ask, is the former president actually enjoying this and how it might actually affect the 2024 election?
Democracy is not going to work. Democracy is culture. Something is good for Iraq, it's not, but not in that level of state. Something is good for Russia, it's not good for America or for Iraq. You cannot impose things on societies.
Hi, my name is Frank. I'm originally from Philadelphia. Got in the movement in 88. I was 13 going on 14.
We were violent towards those people because we believed that we were the superior race. We were here first, and this is our country.
Being part of that movement, I got to feel a sense of power when I felt powerless. I got attention when I felt invisible and accepted when I felt unlovable.
So Life After Hate is an organization that was founded by four ex-skinhead, neo-Nazi, white supremacists in the US and Canada. And they found each other, and they knew that they wanted to help other guys get out.
There's two parts to getting out of a violent extremist group. The first part is disengagement, which is where you leave the social group. And then the next part is de-radicalization, where the belief systems and the ideology are removed.
It was very impactful when someone finally came along with no fear, no judgment. He heard my story, did nothing to challenge it, but validated it.
За военных, которые погибают, но они достойны защищать нашу родину.
По нам начали стрелять украинские. Мне ногу ранили. Вот так вот аж. Да чуть-чуть остался шрам.
Фашисты первыми наступали на нашу землю. А мы защищали ее, терпели, погибали. Но они все равно идут до победы.
Okay, we are back discussing this historical moment in time, the indictment of President Trump, or possible, with legal and media analyst Lionel. Lionel, I got to ask you this. We got to do a little legal question because I wanted you to follow up on what you just said. But I want to bring back in this idea of the difference between the sexual harassment lawsuit we saw with Bill Clinton, which was settled in 1998, paying Paula Jones $850,000, and if, and we're seeing lawyers and even Stormy Daniels herself say that the money did not come from Trump, if he did somehow pay Stormy Daniels $130,000, what's the difference? And then I want to go back to the case that you were referencing that we might not like.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, there is nothing against the law in paying somebody to not say something. It's just, it's done all the time. It's an NDA. It's done constantly. Let me go through these cases very quickly. E. Jean Carroll is a woman who claims that she was sexually assaulted by the president years ago. And now, because of this statute of limitations allowance, she is able to resuscitate this case in New York, Southern District, civil, not criminal. There's no jail involved. But here's the problem. The federal court has allowed two witnesses, two women, to come forward to say, yep, We went through that too. This is Harvey Weinstein again. And you're not going to like the testimony regarding Access Hollywood and what he said. So that's over there. Put that there. Next is this Georgia grand jury case of Stop the Steal. Now that's going on as we speak. Doesn't sound very exciting, but it is. Because remember, sometimes the most boring sounding cases are the most dangerous. Then we have this Jack Smith. We have two cases from that. One, the January 6th. Let me say something. To our good friend, I guess, Tucker Carlson, who was under this impression that nothing happened. This was just a bunch of sightseers who, you know, walked through the Capitol. Oh, no, no, no. There's a case called Seditious Conspiracy, a charge that will, it scares the hell out of me because it is covered by a variety of ideas. So anyway, that's the January 6th case. Then there's the Mar-a-Lago case. And you see, Scotty, people say, what is this? The cases, the documents weren't classified. They don't have to be classified. Well, Joe Biden had cases of his. Okay, fine. Hillary Clinton had servers and nobody. Okay, that doesn't make any difference. Scotty, if you've ever, I'm sure you probably never have, but if you're ever pulled over for speeding and you tell your cop, hey, people driving faster than me, he'll say, that's nice. License and registration. I stopped you. So we're not done with that. Then Letitia James, you're going to love, this is probably one of the weirdest ones. She's basically claiming in a New York case because she's got to get in there. She's just, she and Alvin Bragg are fighting to see who's gonna bring Trump down. They're claiming that Trump overvalued real property. Scotty, do you know what would happen if you pledged your home as collateral and said it was worth $400 million and you brought it to a bank? The bank has its own appraisers. They don't care what you call it. So this is nuts. And then finally, we have this. So that's six cases total. Now, you brought up a good point. And this is a political question versus a legal. Do you think Trump likes this? You know, in a sick way, yes. Trump's never really had serious legal criminal exposure. He's, I don't want to say he's litigious, but he has been known to be a party of a lot of cases, and it doesn't frighten him. Kind of gets a, he gets away, not gets away, it's a wrong term. He doesn't cower by being served. That's dangerous, because this is not some developer suing him for monies that were unpaid or anything like that. This is bigger than anything he's ever involved in. And let me tell you something. It got personal with these people. And you asked another question too. Do you think in a weird way that this helps raise money? Scotty, I'm no expert on this, but the worst way to raise money is to be accused of criminal cases. There are three groups of people in this country. People who hate Trump, people who love Trump, and in the middle, these independent kind of undecided. Now, Scotty, do you think any of those people say, you know what? I wasn't really crazy about Trump before, didn't care for him. But you know, now that he's got all these cases and all these criminal charges, by God, I like him because I think he's being mistreated. Wait a minute. What? That? So I think there's this fiction. Oh, and I love this one. Oh, even Elon Musk said, even Elon Musk said, it's got to be true. What planet are these people on? No, you can raise money. President Trump can sneeze into a handkerchief and get $1 million from people bidding on this relic. He doesn't need to get arrested. But right now, for him, this started the momentum. And everybody now is sitting there saying, we have to pick up this dog of a case. Because, Scotty, like I said, I don't think the American public can differentiate one case from the next. Versus Alvin Bragg and the woman in Georgia and these E. Jean Carroll. To them, it's this one big thing. And right. Trump could play this perfectly. Oh, and one more thing. Speaking political, let me ask you. What do you think about the way Ron DeSantis is handling this?
Oh, we're going to get...
I mean, is this the squishiest?
Well, hold on. We're going to get to the governor in a second. But I do want to ask, is this the effect also, as Trump was calling for people to rally outside in his honor, I think he was hoping he'd still see these mass crowds with their Trump signs and their trucks going down the streets, honking in New York. But we didn't see that. We didn't see that on Tuesday. In fact, many people came out and said, don't do it. Look at January 6th. Whether you agree that this, the right people did wrong, whatever's happening, you still have a large amount that have yet to be prosecuted sitting in jail with the president could have pardoned them coming out of it. Do you think the people in the back of their mind, which is, might have been the overall goal, is like, I'm not going to go stick my neck out on the line for this man when I saw happened to the ones that did it on January 6th?
Absolutely. In fact, I was suggesting if ever President Trump wants to claim an insanity defense, he might want to use as Exhibit A the fact that he brought up rallying the crowds again. Scotty, with these people walking around who think it's not all, but some think it's 1776 again, and they talk about Jefferson with the blood of the tree of the Patriot, and I don't know what's going on. You don't want these people to show up next thing you know with their three-cornered hat and bison horns, and they get nuts. If I were the president, as this January 6th case and insurrection and seditious conspiracy and others are still theoretically possible, the fact that he even so much as hinted, even said, come on a protest, out of my mouth all the time would be, we protest at the ballot box. We use the franchise.
Well, and that's the thing, is we could go on for hours on this, and this is going to continue to be studied. Real quick about DeSantis, I got to tell you my thought on it. I think DeSantis was smart, a very diplomatic answer. He knows that this is all show. The last thing any candidate wants to be talking about is Donald Trump, and right now they're all trying to get the focus. So much to go into. Lionel, thank you so much for joining us. Once again, like I said, the term unprecedented is being applied to President Trump, as the only other president was Ulysses S. Grant. Now, President Grant was let out on bail, and as expected, but he did not show up for any hearing because he said the case against President Grant was ridiculous, and Grant considered it to be politically motivated. Sound familiar? Fast forward to the present. The current situation involving President Trump, which I think is safe to say is playing nicely into his overall strategy of dominating the political scene. This was his strategy in 2016. It worked for him. He departed from in 2020 and listened to his million-dollar political consultants and lost. Therefore, America and the world finds themselves today, once again in the middle of another made-for-TV prosecution, which will provide all of the expected drama with the twist of an election at the end. Not exactly what I consider to be the best way to practice democracy, but what else would you expect from a world where more people watch the latest episode of The Kardashians than a presidential candidate debate and look to comedy channels for their news updates? The American voters are getting the reality show they deserve, and Donald Trump is counting on your continued addiction to the drama to put him back in the Oval Office. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.